Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, Greg Outlaw, he might want to think about going down to the courthouse and changing his name. Greg Outlaw said the family is a small church and our ministry first starts at home. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. I want you to understand that. For those of you who think other people's ministry and other people's churches and are more important because they're bigger or better or in your mind, you need to understand first and foremost, the family is a small church, and our ministry first starts at home. If you're not a good home member, you're not going to be a good church member. Can somebody say amen? And then if you get stranded and you have no place to stay, you may have some folks in the church who might house you for a little while, but you can always come home if you want to. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, we may look at you funny when you come. I'm reminded of a little story, a little joke that someone brought up yesterday. Is really not that funny, but she said the absolutist, what did the absolutist say about Thanksgiving? And the absolutist said, too many relatives. You have to be educated to get that. But be that as it may, the quote continues. In 1 Timothy 3, 5, we read, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? And we have many, many pastors whose families are shot to hell. Shot. And all messed up, but yet they think they can rule in the house of God, and it doesn't work. But because people are looking at your family, so managing, he continues, your family is caring for each member, teaching them God's ways, whether they want to hear it or not, leading them to grow in the Lord, and equipping them for adult life. Prayer is an important element in this process. A family who has a heart of prayer for each other will have a heart of prayer for the world as well. Can somebody say amen right there? Holy Father God, help us to realize that the family is the first church. And if we're not good members in the family, good Christians in the family, willing to help other people but not help your own sister and your own brother, flesh and blood, sister and brother times two, and do it with a godly Christian heart and spirit, and not as the traditional despised relative. Holy Father God, we pray that you would have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults as Christian people in the family. And help us to understand the old saying that charity begins at home. And if you are not right with that foundation, you're not going to be right with folk in the church. It's going to all unravel after a while. And then you're going to have to double back and go back home and apologize and make things right. And then venture back into the world and hopefully go on for the glory of you, Lord, and the praise of Jesus and for the salvation of the lost. And so we pray that you would help us to be good family members, home church members, if you will, and then church members. And help us to pray one for another and to help one another, no matter how we might feel about one another. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible reads, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." And so today we're going to talk about husbands, and I like talking about the husband factor as well, because so many husbands today, sadly, even being led by not necessarily false preachers who meant well, but they twisted God's word to make it sound like men should be in subjection to women. And that's just not the case. That husbands should subject themselves to their wives. And that is not what the Bible teaches. In fact, it is contrary to what the Bible teaches, and therefore we have a slew of men who are henpecked, controlled, dominated, and twisted in the wind by their wives, and their wives have led them and the children out of good Bible-believing churches to go to the nice and shiny new church with the flamboyant pastor, the flamboyant and eloquent pastor who's not saying nothing. I know that that is a double negative, but I'm trying to make a point. And it's the man's fault. Ultimately, yes, I believe all women are going to answer to God for what they do, because God put in all women and all men instincts to do what you're supposed to do. We know what we're supposed to do, and and we know what role we're supposed to play. Men know that too, but they suppress what God put in them. They see chaos and confusion in the home. Daughters ripping and running and whoring around in the street. My aunt Hattie and my aunt Rebecca and my grandmother Tempe used to call them fast. And they would tell us, "Boys, watch that fast girl over there. She's going to get you in trouble." And you don't say nothing. You just put on your earphones and you sit down in your easy chair and listen to your jazz while your children go to hell, and your wife encourages it. And then you have the heartache and pain of your child, your daughter, getting pregnant in your home. Or worse, getting AIDS from some nasty, devilish boy who's going both ways. Don't you get mad with me, sir. You need to put your big boy drawers on and act like a man. And stop trying to be some little cute metrosexual, weak-backed, homosexual, punkish man who's not worth a dime. If your family is in chaos, you're responsible. Man up. And put your foot down, whatever the consequences. And yes, it is too late for some of you. You've allowed this mess to go on for years. And now, like a little mouse, like a little kitty cat, you can't say anything to your wife. Because most times she's not there, she's out running in the street. You don't know where she is. You can't say anything to your daughters and to your children, to your son. Oh, forget about your sons. You can't say a doggone thing to them. Because they wild as the devil. And they look at you crazy and dare you to say something to them while they walk out the house with braids in their hair and the earring in the ear with the pants hanging off their butt, and you don't have any control over these children. Yet you are supposed to be the pastor. And your family is going crazy. Sir, man, you see, I used to like you when you were talking about the wives. Man, I'm going to have to cut you off. Don't you cut that thing off. You need to hear this. Your wife, your family's in chaos because of you. You're letting it happen. You grab your little lunch bucket and you hit the dough as early as you can to get out of there. You're not going to work just to provide for the family. You're going to work to get away from the hell in your home, and you know it. And you don't want to hear nothing or see nothing about the family until you come in as late as you can from the pub or from some place where you're trying to get some kind of relief or release. So don't you get mad with me. This is what's happening. And oftentimes your pastor is to blame. Why? You've heard him. He always favors the wives, always favors the women, always talking nice about the women and beating up on the men. Telling you stuff like, you ought to take your wife out on every Friday night. Get a zookeeper to keep those animal children of yours for a night. Pay whatever it takes. You don't have two dimes to rub together. You better, if you take it anywhere, take it to McDonald's. You don't have two dimes to rub together. You're gonna take whatever it takes. Pay the babysitter or the zookeeper $100 to take your wife out on what? $30? It's date night. Then on Tuesday night, always bring your wife a rose or some kind of beautiful flower. And always open the door for your wife. It's always about the wife and what you ought to be doing for the wife. Nothing about the wife and what you ought to be doing for the husband. And let me tell you something. You know it's true. I'm not going to open a door for a devil who's mean as hell and won't keep the house clean and won't change the children and take care of the children. I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. I've never done it. And by the way, some of you wives who need loving and cuddling and so forth, let me tell you something. No man, I don't care how sweet and nicey and teddy beary he is going to cuddle with a witch. There's not going to be any cuddling. There might be some other stuff, but there's not going to be any cuddling and holding and all of that. And you're a witch, and you're rebellious, and you're a liar. He can't trust you. Now, you may have a little man who will do some of that, but you're getting sick and tired of him. Dr. Thomas Constable writes in his expository notes on the Bible, Leadership should involve a recognition that God has placed the husband in a position of responsibility and authority. The husband occupies his role by divine placement. I've told my wife and I've told my family, God put me in this position. I didn't put myself in this position. God did. And I'm going to do what God has told me to do because I'm going to have to answer to God. And I take that seriously. Taking on this role does not mean that the husband must execute all of his responsibilities perfectly, since that would be impossible. It does mean that he is accountable to God for his wife and his children. Make no mistake about it. The ball is in not only your court, but your lap. Even though, he continues, Eve ate the fruit first, God approached Adam first. Adam, where art thou? I would have had a little bit more bass in my voice there if I wasn't feeling a little bit under the weather. That Adam was kind of weak compared to my past Adams. Adam, where art thou? He didn't call Eve. Yeah, he didn't call Eve. Eve was the first one to eat the fruit and led Adam to eat the fruit with her fine self. A fine woman will lead you to do a whole lot of things. Oh, yes. Some of you men, you know what I'm talking about. A fine woman. And Eve was the finest of all time. That little chubby, kind of fat Eve that you see in some of the ancient paintings, that's not holding that fruit up. That's not the Eve that Adam saw, I can assure you. Adam said, give me that apple. I'll do whatever you tell me. But when the chips were down and the stuff had hit the fan, so to speak, God came into the garden and said, Adam, he didn't say Adam and Eve like we got going on today. These little ministries that the wife is just as powerful as the pastor, get out of here with that mess. No, she's a co-pastor just because she is his wife. Are you kidding me? That is not biblical. Anything that has two heads is a monster. The pastor's wife does not have any authority at all in the church. None. Other than maybe teaching the women in a women's meeting. He didn't call Adam and Eve. And he definitely didn't call Adam and Steve. Can somebody say amen? He called Adam. Adam! What have you done? Adam, where are you? Adam! Where art thou? As you can see, I favor the old King James. He went to Adam first to question him about what he and Eve had done. And so God's going to come to you first, sir, whether you like it or not. And you can't say, well, she went out there and did this stuff on her own. And up come these children acting like the devil, looking like a kiss. And I was just sitting in the easy chair eating my Lonely Dawn cookies. And out come this hellacious family. God's going to tell you, sir, I hold you responsible. And you have failed. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those men who are young enough to rise up and be the leaders that you want them to be, which will take them some time to get the reins back in the relationships, in the family. I pray that you would give them your grace, your courage, and the power of your Holy Spirit to put their foot down and to erase the confusion and the foolishness that is going on in their family and in their lives, lest someone gets their life destroyed in their family. We pray that you would raise up men who love you, who love their wives, who love their children enough to tell them the truth, and to chastise them if they're still under their roof, and to encourage them to trust you, to love you back, to fear you, to obey you, and to be faithful to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, our devotional passage from the Holy Bible today is Psalm 83, 1 through 5. The Bible reads, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." And by the way, dear friends, the devil has the same plan for you. He wants to destroy you, your family, your church, and your ministry. He wants to wipe you off of the map. And if you don't believe it, look around. Many individuals have been wiped off of the map. I'm talking about Christians. Many families have been destroyed by the devil. Many churches have been destroyed by the devil. And that's the plan the devil has for you and for me. He wants to, like a roaring lion, devour us, and that is to tear us to pieces. Jesus used the term to sift you as wheat and make you powerless. That's the thing that we're in, my friend. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Holy Father God, we thank you so much for your holy word that is so powerful from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament. So powerful and so much of a blessing for those of us who are truly saved and born again. Our problem is not understanding your holy word, but doing your holy word. So help us to pray, to do your holy word, to love it, to cherish it, and to obey it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, my beloved, join me in praying for governmental leaders and other leaders of other states and the people and others. We do this based upon the Word of God found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Which says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God in heaven, I know that you're there at your throne of grace. Lord, I do not understand your grace. I do not understand your love. It is beyond me and my feeble mind, but I do thank you for it. And I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at your right hand right now. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for President Donald Trump and his administration, his family first, and then his administration. We pray for each member of the White House staff, leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, all mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world, the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life blessings, protection blessings, provision blessings upon all of these people. And we pray that you would save those who are lost and revive those who are saved, and have your Holy Spirit to not give them rest until they repent and trust Christ as Savior and submit to Jesus Christ. We also pray that you'll give these people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight far beyond their years, far beyond their abilities, to do your work and your will in the earth, for they are ministers too, whether we like it or not. And we pray for this president and his administration, as we have prayed for every president and their administrations since Ronald Reagan in 1979. And we pray now also for church leadership. And we pray for all pastors, church leaders, denominational leaders, Bible teachers, missionaries, and ministry workers. We commit these souls into your hands. And Lord, we pray for the same blessings to fall upon them. And we pray that more pointedly, that you would revive all of us again, church leaders and the church. We need a revival in your church. And we know that many are falling by the wayside, but your true church will stand. And we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and manifest the power of your Holy Spirit through souls being saved and lives being changed. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all current events around the world. We pray for the comfort of the families who have lost loved ones in the earthquake in Iran and Iraq, and for the recovery of all those who have been wounded, for the comfort of the families and church, a family of the 26 people killed in the mass shooting at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Many of us have never had experiences like this. We don't know what these people are going through, and there's no way that we could know, but you know, and we pray that you would comfort them as only you can. And as always, Lord, and we pray especially for that family that lost 9 members. And Lord, as always, you always show up and show out. And you, always, you're doing what needs to be done in the hearts and minds of those people, for them to show up for church in a tent Lord, on Sunday, just shows the world the love and devotion of your people who are truly born again for you and for your holy son, Jesus Christ. What a testimony. They had the biggest crowd ever. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor, and it shows your grace and love to a sin-cursed world. We also pray for the media. Save those who are lost in the media. Revive those who are saved. And help us not join the crowd that condemns every estate, but to pray for them, that they would do their jobs and not be the story and not create stories, but to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for these prayer requests that have come in, some recently. We pray for Tiwania, help her to find a Bible preaching church home to keep the passion and desire to follow you. Do that for millions of Christians who have forsaken the church, driven out by the devil, led by the devil. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would cause a revival of church attendance, folks going back to the church. And I thank you, Lord, that all of my children are in church and who are, and they are serving with me in the ministry. And I thank you for that. I pray that for every Christian family, that their children would stay in church even after they leave home. And we, when they can do anything they want, they can go to a Buddhist temple. And tragically, some have. But we pray that all of our children would remain in a good Bible-believing church where there is no sexual harassment and no hanky-panky and no foolishness going on, and people are sincere about serving the Lord and who are praying and reading your holy word and hearing your holy word. We pray for Fred, for you to bless his family, marriage, business, and health, victory over the devil's obstacles, financial success, and peace regarding his tithing, for his mother to stay healthy and successful. And Lord, we pray for Kalia that you would heal his daughter from her brain disease and strengthen him and his family throughout this situation. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have gotten saved through this ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and be the strong Christians you want them to be. We pray for Robert. We pray for Moore. We pray for Rena Bothu. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus, through the preaching of your gospel and your holy word. We pray for Samuel, we pray for William, and we pray for Josphat as well. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Lord, I cannot thank you enough for the privilege it is to join many others, especially my family, to pray for others and to encourage others in the faith and now to share the gospel with others who don't know you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours throughout this day and throughout our lives. And we look forward to seeing you face to face one day, even though we don't deserve it, through your holy son Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is Faith or Experience, Part 2, by Oswald Chambers. We must continually focus and firmly place our faith in Jesus Christ. Not a prayer meeting, Jesus Christ, not a book, Jesus Christ, but the New Testament Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, and who ought to strike us dead at his feet. My. Our faith must be in the one from whom our salvation springs. Jesus Christ wants our absolute, unrestrained devotion to him. We can never experience Jesus Christ or selfishly bind him in the confines of our own hearts. Our faith must be built on strong, determined confidence in him. It is because of our trusting in experience that we see the steadfast impatience of the Holy Spirit against unbelief. All of our fears are sinful, and we create our own fears by refusing to nourish ourselves in our faith through the Word of God and prayer. How can anyone who is identified with Jesus Christ suffer from doubt or fear? Our lives should be an absolute hymn of praise, resulting from perfect, irrepressible, triumphant belief. Can somebody say amen? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together today. In spite of it being later than usual, we thank you, Lord, for doing what you have done. For we do have a tendency when we are behind to try to rush. And I thank you for leading me not to do that today. And because it's not only about the people who are joining me live around the world right now, but it's about the thousands who participate and listen and watch on demand in their cars, on their treadmills, while walking the dog in their beautiful neighborhoods, and while lying in the bed in the evening. And so, Lord, speak to their hearts as well as ours. By the power of your Holy Spirit, and by the power of your Holy Word, and we pray that thousands of young couples would establish their own devotional prayer time each and every day. And those who are still single, have them to continue to join us, or to join with other families or other single brothers and sisters in Christ at a Starbucks or coffee shop or someplace, and have a grand old time with you. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, before I leave you, for those of you who have happened upon us and you're not a Christian yet, you have not trusted Christ as your Savior yet, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has a word for you. He says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, for some reason I had the church on my mind, but God so loved the world, and he loves the church too, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou, that word thou means you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a bad life? Maybe. Yes, you will be saved from a bad life. You can be saved from a bad life. But your life is still not going to be perfect even after you get saved. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about being saved from perishing in hell. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for your sins, to allow himself to be buried, and to rise again on the third day to save your soul from hell. He suffered, he bled, he was tortured, he died. He shed his blood on the cross as the Lamb of God for your sins, your lies, your drunkenness, your rebelliousness, your meanness, your hatred, your bitterness, your stealing, your robbing, your adultery, and so forth. And we all have sinned. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Trust me when I tell you that if a person who is living with the billions of dollars of equipment that God put in us to live suddenly dies, it does not exist anymore, I assure, because of sin, I assure you that there's a hell for people who have never trusted Christ as Savior. The soul and the spirit were designed to live forever, and it will live forever somewhere, heaven or hell. And the only way to go to heaven is to trust Christ as Savior, to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because death is a very serious matter. We try to just accept it as a part of life and all other such foolishness. Death is not a part of life. It is still shocking to all of us. This is why we have long funerals and we have wakes and we have a 3-year season of mourning, crying, and grieving. Because it is not normal. God never intended for it to be. But because we have chosen to sin against him, we must die. And if we don't take his provision of the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world and believe on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, we will not only die physically, we will die spiritually in eternal death, separated from God forever in a place called hell. Because you can't go to heaven committing adultery. You can't go to heaven lying. You can't go to heaven stealing from people. Okay? So that's what this is about. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friend. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today, and he will save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. We call it the sinner's prayer because we are sinners asking God for mercy and grace and asking God to forgive us of our many sins and to save our souls through faith in Christ. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken some of your commandments. And I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, that he was buried and rose again, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my old ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.